Book of Nehemiah. Joey going to Kidventure? No. Oh. Well, he could probably, I mean, he runs. He could probably run the races. He knows how to kick a ball, too. You tell him to kick the ball, and he'll stand behind it and run real fast in place and then kick it. It's kind of cute. I'll have to have him do that. Anyway, Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, that in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber, to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Father, we do thank you again for the evening that we have together in the middle of the week. Thank you, Father, for just the safety that you gave us throughout today. Father, we ask that you would, Lord, as we're gathered together, you would speak to our hearts, Lord. We do gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we do want to hear from heaven. We want our hearts, Lord, to be drawn to you, our thoughts to be established. We want you to guide everything, obviously, for you to be glorified, for Christ to be lifted up. But Lord, thank you for the benefits that we receive by gathering together, by seeking your face with all of our heart. And Lord, in allowing the scriptures to truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, allowing our Lord and Savior to guide our steps and to walk with us. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I believe all of us are familiar with the story of Nehemiah and how Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to help build the walls. Ezra had went back before Nehemiah to rebuild the temple, and now Nehemiah goes to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem to build up the doors and all of that, because God's people have been in captivity because of their rebellion, and the city of Jerusalem has been wasted. And when you look at chapter 1, chapter 2 is where we're at, and chapter 2 is the beginning of what Nehemiah will no doubt conquer with the strength of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, to rebuild the walls, even in time of trouble, even when Sanballat and Tobiah will try to fight against him and try to get the people against him and get the people afraid and just ridicule the work they're trying to do and even try to stop the work that they are trying to do, sending back letters to the king, lying about Nehemiah. But God prevails, because I want us to see in chapter 1 that God is the one that laid this upon Nehemiah's heart. And really, you think about just the title of the message tonight is Rise Up in Faith. Rise Up in Faith. In chapter 1, you look at verse number 1, It says the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, as I, Nehemiah, was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. So Nehemiah, he receives word about the people, the remnant that are left there in Jerusalem, and how obviously they have no protection. The wall is broken down. The gates are burned. He hears this. He hears the affliction the people are in. He hears the condition that Jerusalem is in. And notice in verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah's heart was moved by what he heard. He heard the affliction that God's people were in, that were there in Jerusalem, just the remnant that has survived the invasion. Now they're trying just to live day by day. He hears about the Jerusalem walls and how the walls are torn down, the gates are burned. And his heart is moved by what God has allowed him to hear, by what God has allowed him to find out. And it says that he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And the following verses, verses 5 and following, is his prayer. And look at his prayer. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if we transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He's asking for God to give him favor, give him mercy in the sight of King Artaxerxes. Again, when you think about Nehemiah has heard just the disarray that Jerusalem is in, just the destruction and just how the people are there in affliction. And though he is in Shushan the palace, he's in a comfortable place. He's the cupbearer to the king. He has a position there in the palace. He has a place to lay down. He has a place to eat. He's got food and all that, but his heart is moved by what he hears about the rest of the people and what he hears about Jerusalem. His heart is affected by what he hears, and he does something about it. He seeks God about it. Nehemiah's heart is touched by what he hears, and he seeks God through prayer. Philippians 2 and verse 13 reminds us, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has revealed to Nehemiah a need, and though it may seem like how can Nehemiah help when he is in Shushan the palace, he's nowhere near Jerusalem, he's not really a free man, he is of the captivity that are there in Babylon, yet he seeks God through prayer, and he asks God, again, notice in verse 11, he asks God, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy
in the sight of this man, speaking of the king. So as Nehemiah's heart is touched by what he hears, if it is God's will, he wants God to use him. And the only way God can use him is if God will allow him to have favor in the sight of this king. So in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, I want you to see in these three verses that faith looks to the overwhelming. He hears about the overwhelming situation that Jerusalem and the people are in, but he sees by faith what God can do, and if it be God's will, Nehemiah wants to be a part of that plan. Notice in verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Just a side note here, if my memory serves me somewhat well, the month Chislu, when Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem and the people, until the month Nisan, I believe is 4 months. So from the moment he heard about Jerusalem and prayed his prayer, 4 months have passed, and he asked God to give him favor in the sight of the king. 4 months have passed. Now it's the month of Nisan, and he is obviously the cupbearer, and he is to come before the king and to present his cup of wine to him. Obviously, after first tasting it and making sure it's not poisoned, that was a cupbearer's duty, was to taste the wine that was poured into the cup, make sure no one is trying to poison the king. What a great job. Who wants a job like that, that, you know, it's your responsibility to make sure the king doesn't get poisoned, so you're the one that gets poisoned if someone has put something in that cup. But here we are, and you see verse 1, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. I took up the wine, gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. All right, he had been, you know, the rule is that as you serve the king, you are to be joyous, whether you feel like it or not. You are to be joyous before the king, and yet before now he has a sad countenance. Verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? So obviously the king notices his sad countenance. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. The king understands that there's something going on. He's not sick. There's something on his mind. Notice, though, at the end of verse 2, then I, Nehemiah, was very sore afraid. 4 months have passed since he prayed his prayer to God, and now he stands before the king, and the king notices his sad countenance and wants to know what is on his heart, what's troubling him, but he's afraid because, right? You think about it. I tell him what's bothering me, and I either get permission from him to go back to Jerusalem, or I get dismissed from my responsibility. I get thrown in the dungeon because I'm supposed to be acting a certain way before the king. He says, then I was sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? I want us to see that again as we rise up in faith. When God lays something upon our heart, when God reveals something to us and our heart is moved by it, you're going to see where Nehemiah's faith is put to work. It's one thing to have faith, but as we'll see in a minute in the book of James, I can have faith without works, or I can have faith with works, putting my faith to work, moving on what God has laid upon my heart. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, very simple, it just reminds us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Nehemiah, it's been revealed to him what needs to be done in Jerusalem, and by faith he sees the overwhelming task, not just at Jerusalem, but even the overwhelming task of just finding grace in the eyes of this king, and only God is going to be able to help Nehemiah to find that grace in the eyes of a man so he can go and accomplish God's will that has been revealed to him. We're going to get to it, and forgive me if it's a little slow going getting to where our faith is to be put to work, our faith is to be tested, and our faith is to be stood upon as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what he has revealed to us. As a child of God, God reveals things to us at different times in our life, not just for us to pray about it. Many times he wants us individually, whatever he has revealed to you, for you to act upon it by faith. Because if God's revealed something to you, then he wants you to be a part of the solution. He wants you to be a part of the work. Again, in verses 1 through 3, the moment has come. Reminding us again that God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer the moment that we pray it. 4 months have passed. Now God has brought the moment that Nehemiah prayed for when he said, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. 4 months later, now God is moving. God is allowing what he has prayed for, Nehemiah's prayed for, to start to come to pass. So faith sees the overwhelming, okay? Not an ostrich putting a head in the sand, but sees the overwhelming task ahead, but still has faith that God revealed it. God has moved my heart towards it, and I want to move myself physically towards it so I can be a vessel in God's hand to be used. Look at verses 4 through 5. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And we understand that. He's already prayed his prayer, but now you know what? The moment has come. The king says, you know, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you require of me? Nehemiah doesn't have time to say, okay, hold on. And he goes into, you know, the next room to spend, you know, 30 minutes in prayer. Oh, Lord, you know, please move his heart. You know, help me to find God. He's already prayed that. Now you know what it's like to say a quick prayer without anybody hearing it. Okay, Lord, help me to know what to say. Help me to say it correctly. Help the words to come out. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Now listen, as Nehemiah is saying this, the whole reason why Jerusalem has been, the walls have been torn down, broken down, why the gates have been burned, why so many have been taken into captivity, was because of their sin and rebellion against God. Now he's asking the king, can I go back and rebuild it? The former kings, Nebuchadnezzar, the ones that have, you know, took us captive, the one that, you know, tore down the Jerusalem walls and burned the gates. Now he's asking, you know, the next king, can I have permission to go back and build it? So you kind of can understand why Nehemiah is a little scared to ask the question, because it could go either way, right? It could either go good for him or it could go bad for him for asking, again, that this heathen king, who's not a God-fearing king, would maybe not allow it, but see Nehemiah maybe as an enemy from within and cast him out into the dungeon. But again, the Bible reminds us that God is the one that moves the heart of kings whithersoever he will. So faith looks to the overcoming. He says that I may build it. Again, God's laid upon Nehemiah's heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2 with me. Because I want us to understand and be reminded tonight that when we read in the Bible that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, it's telling us we are to walk by faith as God moves in our life, as God shows us things in our life, that we are to, if God has revealed it, then he obviously wants me to be a part of it. He wants me to do something. And as Nehemiah sought the Lord, and even, Lord, if you'll give me mercy in the sight of this man, I mean, whatever your will is, I want to be a part of it. But it's by faith. Let's not be, and you have to let God speak to your heart specifically about your life. But I say this, let's not be Christians who sit on the sidelines, not even looking to be a part of what God is doing and what God wants to do. Faith looks to the overcoming, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, faith looks to the overcoming, and as we look as Jesus as our example, Jesus looked beyond what we would consider the end of his life. He looked beyond the cross to see the victory that he would bring for all of us, and the fact he would be back seating at the right hand of the Father. Nehemiah is looking past the king, past the difficulty of what's going to have to take place in Jerusalem, and he sees by faith the accomplishment that God will bring. That's truly living by faith and walking by faith, seeing what God is going to do and what God has already done. Look at verses 6 through 8, because here's the meat of the message tonight. Verses 1 through 5, we just see faith sees the overwhelming and faith sees the overcoming. We don't have to be overwhelmed, all right? Again, just for me, when I look at the roof and just the little progress that we've done and how we have pulled the Band-Aid off and we see how bad it is, that's kind of overwhelming. It's like, okay, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a roofer, but I do know a God in heaven who's got the answer and the wisdom that he can help us, you know, accomplish what needs to be accomplished. To me, that's overwhelming. So then I have to look past that and look to the finished product. And Lord, you have to get us to that finished product. Because when Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem, what he heard doesn't do what he sees any justice, because it's worse than what he heard. Because, you know, when someone tells you something in your mind, you kind of think about it and think how it might be. But then when you see it, it's like, whoa, that's worse than I was thinking. Or it's not as bad as I was thinking. So when you think about Nehemiah here and you look at verses 6 through 8, Nehemiah, again in chapter 1, he heard, his heart was touched by it. He was moved to seek God in prayer over the matter, confessing his sin, the sin of Israel that got them into this predicament, got the city again in the disarray that it's in. But he still seeks God. He still brings up God's promise. If we seek you, if we repent, if we come back to you, you promise that you'd bring us back and you would bless. And that's what he's seeking God about. He has his moment now in the presence of King Artaxerxes. The question has been asked, what dost thou make request? Nehemiah says that I may go back to Judah, that I may rebuild the sepulchers of my fathers. In verse number 6, the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's force, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah recognizes and praises God because it's God moving in the heart of the king. Again, he was already fearful to even say anything. And then when he does say something, then the king says to him, okay, well, how long are you going to be gone? You know, when are you going to come back? Then Nehemiah takes it upon himself to even ask for more. Can you give me some documentation to prove that you've given me permission to cross over to the other side? And, oh, by the way, will you give me a letter as well, giving me authority to go into your forest that belongs to you, to Asaph, who is in charge of keeping it, so I can get timber to build my house, to rebuild the gates and all and everything, whatever I need, will you provide for it? I mean, we can understand why Nehemiah would have a little bit of fear in him, again, not knowing which way it's going. But notice though, in verse number 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, oh, I'm sorry, the end of verse 6, so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. It pleased the king. Nehemiah notices it pleased the king. When you look at verses 6 through 8, you just see where Nehemiah, it's been 4 months since he prayed. God is now revealing, you know what, it's now it's time. It wasn't time 4 months prior to go to Jerusalem. But now in this month, the month of Nisan, God brings to pass what Nehemiah prayed for because Nehemiah's heart was touched. He wanted to be a part of doing something for God. And he knew that only God could open the door for him to even leave where he was at and to go back to Jerusalem. And you know the book of Nehemiah. You know that he goes back. You know the walls are rebuilt. But I want us to notice a few things in verses 6 through 8, really, is that faith has to be put to work. Nehemiah prayed. The time has come. He prayed again when the king asked, what do you want? What is it? Now he's ready to go. In James chapter 2, verse 18, yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. The faith by my works is the faith in the one who's laid upon my heart to do something. Or the faith in the one who has revealed something that he wants me to do or to be a part of. Again, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's not blind faith. It's faith in serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what? Wanting to be a part of whatever God's doing. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Nehemiah didn't let anything hold him back. Do you realize Nehemiah could have, when he heard, because he asked the brethren that came back, you know, how are the people? How's the city? He could have just prayed and said, Lord, you know, would you raise somebody up to help? Lord, would you comfort the people? Lord, would you supply for the people? Because we know that you're a God that supplies all of our need. But he wanted to be a part of what God was doing. Because you know what that means, to be a part of what God's doing? It means that God's working in your life and my life. God's moving in your life. It means, you know what? I'm just not saved to sit on a shelf. I'm saved and God wants to use me in different areas. I can be a benefit in the hands of God, in the work of God, whatever and wherever God wants me to be. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them, walk in the good works. Now, true faith always works. Again, James said, show me thy faith without thy works, I'll show you my faith by my works. It's trusting God, following God, being used of God, and true faith always works. Always works. Always wants to be a part of what God is doing. Somebody once said, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And God is testing Nehemiah's faith because, okay, you prayed this 4 months ago. Now let's see you put your feet to what you said. And he's trusting God. And you already know that God is going to give him favor. The hardships are going to come. People are going to fight against Nehemiah, try to discourage him. But he keeps trusting God because God is the one that revealed it to him. God's the one that moved in Nehemiah's heart, gave him that heart's desire to want to be a part of what God was doing, and even to go back and with his own hands help the people. So first thing I want us to be reminded of tonight as far as our faith is that we need to always be moving forward, trusting God for direction. Always moving forward, trusting God for direction. When God reveals something, let's move forward in what he has revealed. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God guides us by his word and by his spirit. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is for you and for me. The Christian today in the 21st century is to live by faith, and that faith is through the word of God. God speaks through his word. God guides us by his Holy Spirit. He helps us to accomplish his will. Again, it may be you got to let God speak to your heart, because I can't give you all the different examples that God may do something like this. This is what was going on in Nehemiah's time and Nehemiah's life. This is what God revealed to him. And Nehemiah sought the Lord, and when the Lord revealed, when the Lord even brought the moment, Nehemiah knew this was his chance to tell the king what was on his heart, trusting that God was orchestrating the whole thing and that God would move upon this man's heart. As we move forward, trusting God in the direction that he's leading us in our life, we are never to lose sight of the goal. Never lose sight of the goal. If you were to read the entire book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah never lost sight of the goal. Even though Sanballat, Tobiah would fight against him, lie about him, then try to instill fear in the people to stop the work, Nehemiah never lost sight of what the goal was, and the goal was to accomplish God's will. And for you and me, God's will is for him to be glorified. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look down, if you would, at verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That is God's will for us, is that we are never to lose sight that it is God who is to be glorified in our life, no matter what we do. And obviously, Paul even writes, whether you eat or drink, just the simple things, the basic things in life, deserve for the mentality and the heart to be, I want to glorify God in everything, from the simplest to the most difficult things. I want God to be glorified. That is what you and I were created to do, is to bring glory to God in our life. And we're obviously able to accomplish that because of Christ who died for us and the Spirit of God that resides within all of us, all of God's people, I should say. But we are to move forward trusting God for the direction. We are never to lose sight of the goal. It is about glorifying God. I don't have to tell you, but God's not glorified when one of his children want to partake in wickedness and evilness and even, you know, compromise in their faith. God's not glorified in that. God is glorified in us walking with him, accomplishing his will in our life, and allowing him to use us however he wants to use us. And the third thing I want you to think about as we live by faith and walk by faith and we accomplish God's will in our life by faith, you don't have to be alone. You don't have to be a lone wolf. You don't have to be a Christian who does it on their own, because everybody needs encouragement. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 23 through 25. Again, can't go through the whole book of Nehemiah, but you read the book of Nehemiah, and you find that Nehemiah, he's the one that comes, he's the one that encourages the men to rise up and to work. He's the one that encourages the men, though they're being fought against, and even Tobiah and Sanballat, they kind of warn him. They tell the people, and Nehemiah, we're going to come against you. Nehemiah never lost sight of the goal, but what he did was he caused the men to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. Work with one hand, be ready to defend with the other hand. But he never lost sight of God's goal. As a child of God, we know that we have an adversary that's always looking. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? Continuing to be faithful in doing what God has revealed to you to do, asked you to do, what you already know what to do as a child of God, and to be ready at the same time to defend yourself with the armor of God, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But as Nehemiah encouraged the people to rise up and to work, he would be encouraged at all the men that would be faithful to work and would stand by his side and help in the vision that God revealed to him. He had a heart to do something for God. That moved him and it moved the people. Again, remember Paul. Paul encouraged over 200 men to be encouraged when they were in the midst of the storm. We never know how many people we can encourage by our own faith and by our own actions. In Hebrews chapter 10, you look at verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Nehemiah never lost sight of the goal. The goal was to accomplish what God wanted done, but he never lost faith because his faith wasn't in his ability. His faith wasn't in the king's ability. His faith wasn't in, Nehemiah or in Tobiah and Sanballat, being done away with, God, destroying them. His faith was just in God giving them the ability to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another in their faith. Encouraging one another to stay faithful to the Lord, to keep trusting the Lord, to keep relying upon the Lord. Not only with the words, but with our own actions. Again, Nehemiah was there. He was in the work. He was helping in the work. He was encouraging the men. Paul, he's in the same boat, but yet he says, listen, God has already said not one soul is going to be lost. Everyone's going to live. Everyone's going to survive except for the ship. The ship will be broken up. But again, as we rise up in faith every day of our life, as a child of God, we have to rise up in faith and live the day in faith, trusting the Lord and believing that whatever God brings into my life, God wants me to do something. God wants me to be a part of it, whether it's in somebody's life, whether it's in something, something that has to be physically done. But it's living in faith. It's saying, you know what, as long as I have breath, God, I want you to do something in my life. I want to be a part of something you're doing. I don't want my faith to diminish. Though I can see the overwhelmingness of it, yet I can see the overcoming of it because Jesus Christ is the one that helps us to overcome what we face. And we think back, see if I can find the verse I'm thinking about. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I want you to notice Nehemiah's prayer back in Nehemiah chapter 1. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And that's exactly what God did. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Notice verse 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Many times in the Old Testament it would even mention God's right hand. His strong hand. The strong hand was considered the right hand. And who is at the right hand of the Father? Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us. Jesus Christ, who is the power. He's the one that does the work. And as Nehemiah even reminds God, and just not even reminds God, but brings it up, that God's the one that has redeemed his people, brought them out of Egypt with his own strong hand, his own right hand, he knows that God is the one that is going to accomplish the work that's going to be done back in Jerusalem, and he will accomplish it through the faith of the people. Nehemiah had the faith to leave where he was at, to go back to Jerusalem after getting the permission, after getting the letters to be able to use the lumber, the timber in the king's forest. But then the people, they followed Nehemiah by faith and they put their hand to the work. We have faith, but is our faith working? Is our faith working each day? I was talking to somebody a while back that said they've always believed in God. Ever since I was a kid, I've always believed in God, but has not yet put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Right? It's one thing to believe in God, even as a Christian. Okay, I believe God can. But many times God wants us to work by faith, to walk by faith. Lord, here am I. What can I do? What do you want me to do? Even in anything you may be facing in your life right now. Yeah, we pray because we know God can change it. We know God can do anything. But we should also have the faith, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to respond? And by faith we believe when God reveals it, God's going to help us to accomplish that. Because sometimes God doesn't change the situation. In Paul's case, he doesn't remove the thorn. He just says, keep walking with me. I'll give you the grace to endure. And Paul just continued by faith, doing God's will, continuing to be that apostle to the Gentiles, the traveling missionary, and just relied upon the Lord. Never get to a point in your Christian walk, in your walk with the Lord, that you stop truly living in faith, making decisions by faith, following the Lord by faith, giving of yourself, your life, being that living sacrifice to the Lord. Because remember, go to Romans 12 real quick. It's just now 7:30, all right? So I still got 30 minutes. But Romans chapter 12, I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Stopping right there just for a moment. God's not asking you to lay yourself on an altar and be burned to death. All right, He's not asking you to do what He asked Abraham to do with Isaac, which was a test of his faith. But you know what? It was a test of Abraham's faith. Where God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. I want you to sacrifice Isaac, your beloved son, the promised son. And you know what? Abraham, by faith, he rose up early the next morning and he went to Mount Moriah. But Isaac himself was obedient. Because nowhere in the scriptures do you see or even get a hint at Isaac fighting his father to get on that altar. Both men, Abraham and Isaac, both wanted to accomplish God's will. Both trusting God, and even it says of Abraham knew that God could raise his son from the dead, so he wasn't worried about it. God's the one that opened up Sarah's womb so she could even have Isaac, right? In their old age, I mean, in the 90s, late 90s, right? But a living sacrifice is whatever God's will is. And sometimes it will test our faith in a very strong way. But we always have to trust God, even if we don't understand, even if it's difficult, even if we don't see how it's going to turn out, yet if God's in it, if God's in control, then it's going to turn out exactly the way He wants it. And notice again what it says in verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, holy, without any reserve, without any doubt, without any unbelief, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is, it's our reasonable service to say, Lord, I'm here for you to use however you want. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to go through my life where you're not doing anything in my life. Nehemiah wanted to be a part of what God was doing back in Jerusalem. Ezra was already building the temple. That was already in the progress. So he hears, okay, the people are still in affliction because the walls are torn down. They have no protection. God's their protection, but there's no barrier. There's no wall around their city. They were still a mockery. They were still a reproach to the nations around them. And Nehemiah prayed. He heard. And he asked, basically, you ask God in that prayer in chapter 1, God, if you'll allow me, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Because I want you to be working in my life. Because you realize Nehemiah's faith was strengthened as he was there in Jerusalem as well as the people. So I just want to encourage us tonight and challenge us tonight. Let's not get to a point where we don't want God to work in our life, or we don't want to be a part of anything God's doing, let's continue to have the tender hearts toward God, that when He reveals a need, you see somebody else, that maybe you hear something. I have heard some things recently that have grieved my heart because they were not good things. Sometimes you hear good things about God's people. You hear a need. You hear something. God uses people. He uses His people to meet the needs of His people and others. Because you know what? As you minister to one person, you're going to encourage their faith. I encourage you this week, read the book of Nehemiah. It's more than just building walls. It's building faith. It's building our relationship with the Lord, trusting Him through the building project, the building of our faith, the building of our relationship. It's truly trusting Him and relying upon Him. Even when opposition comes, opposition from within, opposition from without, yet God is the one that accomplishes His will, and He does it through His people.